5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Hey, this is not first class.
Welcome to the Clown Car, a parenting podcast where a mom
and a dad
talk about what it's like being the ringleaders in their own circus.
We are not professionals. The only credentials we have are four crazy kids. So do your research and find out what works for you. Hello, fellow ringleaders. I am your host, Barry Ricks, and with me I have my lovely, voluptuous...
Ew!
I don't know. I tried to go for a new word, and that was the first one that came to my mind.
Oh, thanks for that, putting that on the air.
So, Crystal Ricks! Yay!
Yay.
Yay. So.
I'm sick.
Hey, guess what, guys? Guess what?
What?
We're tired.
That's true.
I was just wondering. I wanted a pause there to see if our frequent listeners went, "You're tired!"
I didn't even know where you were going.
Well,
so they probably didn't either.
Well, shame on both of you.
Well, I'm sick and tired.
Yeah, well, you're allergy sick.
Yes, feels like a cold.
Yeah.
It's miserable.
I'm sorry, but...
Oh, thank you.
Shadness.
So anyway...
Hi, guys. Welcome to the Clown Car.
Time.
Let's talk about some crazy stories.
Okay, you go first.
I don't got anything.
Horrible grammar.
I know. I do not have much to speak of. Because, yeah, I didn't write anything down that happened this week.
This week's like a blur.
Yeah, it's kind of like fuzzy. Was a bear.
What? I thought you were gonna go with like a weird alcohol joke.
No,
but you went with fuzzy. Was a bear?
Yeah.
Now we don't drink alcohol, but I just had to throw that out.
But
there.
We like bears.
We really are tired.
So, I guess I could talk about Saturday.
Okay. Wow. Okay.
So jumping right to Saturday. Crystal has stories throughout the week, but my enjoyable moment of the week was on Saturday. We decided, hey, let's not make our yard the embarrassment of our neighborhood anymore, and let's go to Lowe's and buy some yard stuff.
Now, okay, can I start this story
okay.
with what happened the day before?
Okay, yeah.
Okay, a bunch of our older, more established neighbors were standing outside chatting. And I had to ask him a question, so I went over there, and we were all chatting. And then the older guy, our neighbor, goes, "Hey, I'm just letting you know, if you ever need to borrow a lawnmower, I've got one that you can use anytime."
Well, and our grass wasn't even... They were...
No.
It's that...
Not the grass.
Oh.
The weeds.
Yeah.
We have, like, 10-foot weeds.
Yeah.
Not really, but they felt like it. And every other house on our street's, like, well-manicured. Or at least in our area.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
So we went to Lowe's and we bought hand tools, we bought a lawnmower, we bought a weed whacker, and all sorts of stuff. And at the end of the day, our front yard looked pretty awesome.
Yeah. I wish I could go over to our neighbor and be like, "Now look at our yard. Stop judging us.
Look at our yard now." What?
I wasn't angry. I actually thought that was a really nice way to say, "Hey, your yard's embarrassing."
But our grass was not even... It was our weeds, I granted.
We have horrendous weeds.
It took forever. But we dug them out and...
For 5 hours.
It's a long time. And we mowed the lawn and we put weed and feed on our grass. And now we set our sprinkler system to start... actually watering our grass now, because it's getting to that point where everyone's starting to water their grass. And
now I don't know if we did the right thing or not, but our kids helped so much. They ended up rewarding them, but we didn't tell them we were going to reward them, so I don't know if we were like, I don't know if we should have rewarded them. It should have just been fun family time.
Well, I thought they did a good job, and it's not like we rewarded them like with a brand new car or anything like that. It was
New PlayStation.
We gave him the 50 cents worth of little toys.
I know. I just don't want them to think that every time they help us do something hard and long that they're going to get rewarded.
It's true.
But it is good. Well, maybe we'll talk about that later.
Yeah, that could be a totally new whole topic for a different day. But no, it was nice because we were able to work with our kids, and our kids actually enjoyed working with us and weeding, and they generally listened and did what we asked them to do. And now our yard looks nice, so yay.
Yeah, I think we've talked our yard story down. Up? Enough?
Sure.
Okay.
Continue. Go for it.
Well, I usually take notes throughout the week of funny things.
Yeah, she's better than I am.
Usually I type them into my
phone. I'm sorry.
Well, this week, I pulled up my notes, and the very first thing says, Rough Monday. And I've been racking my brain.
Obviously,
and
it wasn't that bad, because she can't remember why.
It was so bad that I blocked it out of my mind.
Ooh.
I do remember Tuesday was rough. I don't know about Monday. Tuesday was way rough because I wanted to make it special. My son had a picnic for school, and so I took our whole family minus you. So our whole family went and had the picnic with him, but he ate with us for like 5 minutes and then got up and ran away ran off to play with his friends. Didn't even say goodbye. And so I packed up all of our stuff and went. Then we had to rush to the store to buy some ingredients because we had some people coming over for dinner. And by the end of that trip, I was so stressed out because a few of our children weren't well behaved. And then I went to go pick up Grayson from school. And usually he's so happy when I pick him up and he makes me feel so good. And this time he gets in the car and he's like, "You took my lunch bag home with you and it had my water bottle. So I was so thirsty at the park and I cried." And then I felt mom guilt. It made me so bad. It's like, after this stressed out shopping trip, I get in the car and get berated by my 7-year-old.
No one else had a water bottle?
They have that nasty drinking fountain at the park, but
it's
still.
It's still water.
It upset me to be like, just rub it in. Just make it worse. So, rough Tuesday. I don't know about rough Monday.
Salt in the wound.
I don't know what rough Monday was. But, so, just some other stuff. We went to McDonald's, I think, and I told the 3-year-old.
When do we not go to McDonald's?
I know. Usually I go to Burger King. But
you'll be surprised when we don't tell you about not going to a restaurant.
Well, I went to McDonald's to go meet up with a friend, and our 3-year-old Lacey, I told her, go pick out a toy for the trip, and she came back with a lunch pail full of little Matchbox cars. Like, to the point where the zipper was, like,
bulging.
And I was like, Lacey, I said one toy. You can only take one. And then we agreed on two. And she sat there going through her bag. I've never seen this. It made me laugh so hard. She pulled out her car, and her car would be like, I want to go to McDonald's. And she'd be like, I'm sorry, but I can't take you. And the car would be like, okay, I guess I'll stay here. And then she'd set it down and pull out another one, and that car would be like, I want to go to McDonald's. And she went through the entire bag, and there were two that said they wanted to go. And she's like, okay, you can go.
Hurry up.
It was funny, though, that each car had to have a little voice. She ended up on the two gold cars.
Bling, bling.
I thought it was funny, though. But what was nice is that the cars were understanding. I was just waiting for it to be like, no, no, I want to go.
How dare you not take me?
I know. I thought she was using it against me. That she'd be like, my car wants to go. So I was waiting for it. But
my mother. Not my other mother, but this mother doesn't want you to come.
Yeah, I know. So it was just cute. And then, so while we're at McDonald's, I'm waiting for my friend to arrive, and Jay comes down from the playground thingy, and she's like, Mom, there's something wet up there in a pile. It's like the very back, she pointed, it's like the very, very tip top in this ball-shaped thing that's like hidden from view, and I was like, did it smell like pee? Because she touched it, it was on her hands, and she's like, I don't know. I didn't know what to do.
Let's wash
our
hands.
And I know they're not going to climb up there and clean it. So I just gave her a handful of wipes and I was like, go clean it up.
Oh, all right.
Then go wash your hands. So I don't know if I just had my 5-year-old clean up someone else's pee, but.
Hey, you're a good Samaritan. Everyone else will be able to enjoy that now because of you.
It just grossed me out, so. But she was willing. Gave her something to do.
There you go. Go clean the pee!
We should just send him with a bottle of bleach next time. Like, here, go clean!
Yay!
Go crazy! Do a service!
So, anything else?
Let's see. I did want to ask you. So, that picnic I mentioned that I went to on Tuesday was for reading goals.
Oh, yeah.
The school sets reading goals. I don't know if it's by grade or by kid. I'm not exactly sure how it works.
Yeah.
But you have to reach 4 reading goals. And then if you reach all 4 throughout the year, you go to this big picnic.
This big picnic, yeah.
But my thoughts are on it are, I asked one of the teachers there, like, what happened to the kids that didn't reach their goal? And they said, oh, a couple of teachers stayed back and they get to have lunch in the cafeteria and then they go back to their room and do worksheets.
Yay!
And to me, I don't know, like, I think competition is healthy, but to me, that's kind of saying, like, here are the smart kids and here are the dumb kids.
Yeah, you're not smart enough to go to the park.
Because there are a lot of variables that make kids not able to read at those goals.
Yeah.
Like, A, their parents might not even be working with them at home. B, they could have learning disabilities.
Or not know English.
Yeah. Or not speak English, I know. Or they could have not had a good night's sleep the night before and just bombed the test. Like, it could be anything.
Yeah.
But we're stigmatizing them as the dumb kids or the kids that can't read well.
So how do you reward the kids that do well then?
I don't know. That's what I'm thinking. Because, I mean, I think
because
competing in sports is healthy.
Do you want to, then you could have the argument, well, if we don't reward these kids, then we're holding them back because of the few, right?
Yeah, I don't know.
Or do you reward them and the other kids are held back, but they're the few.
Yeah. I guess
it's
my...
It's kind of like the majority rules type of thing is... I don't know.
Yeah.
It's an interesting subject.
My dilemma with this is a few years ago, we had a family member that was in this basketball league that... The league was set up where...
It was not a basketball league.
Well... Well, the league's set up where they don't keep score, there's no fouls, like, it's just, like, everybody's a winner!
You can't full court press, you can't double team, you blah, 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 everyone's a winner, and...
I know, and so...
And I'm sorry, I have an issue with that, because the whole time I was like, what is going on?
Well, what was funny is the first time we went to go support this family member, we sat in the little chairs around it, and you and I were like, go!
We're like, yeah!
Score that basket!
Yeah, like, do it! Yeah, we're those parents.
Get up in his face! You know? And we look around, and all the other parents are, like, just standing around chatting with each other.
On their phones.
The kids are just running around. Like, it's really, like...
I'm like, wow, this is, like, daycare.
I know. It really was.
Basketball daycare.
So, in that sense... We thought that was wrong.
It was wrong.
Like, these kids aren't learning anything.
No, they're not.
It's just to fill time.
And here's the catcher to that. They asked me to sub for the coach because I guess they saw how passionate I was about basketball.
Which was a bad idea.
And so I get there. I'm like, okay, guys, let's start running some drills. And they're like, what are drills? Can't we just, you know, scrimmage? And I'm like, no, let's... Do some layups and then do some shots and we'll do some, you know, stretching and all this stuff. And they're like, what? They were like, their minds were like blown that I was having them do this.
So on the one hand, you have kids that can't progress because we're not letting them. And I guess in that sense, if everyone was a winner in this reading picnic thing, then
where's the motivation to... Do better, yeah.
But on the other hand...
Are we holding the other kids back because we're saying...
No, I don't think we're holding them
you're
back.
You're not smart enough to read.
I think it's like we're just labeling them as dumb kids. Or like, those are the kids that weren't good enough readers to go to the picnic. I don't know. I just feel I'm so torn
but
about
then,
that.
But then you have, like, then you'd have, like, you could argue the whole, like, honor roll and stuff like that. Like, you're on the honor roll because you're smarter than these other group of kids, right?
I don't know, because that is something that you can achieve on your own. Reading, specifically reading, like, there are so many variables that affect that. With the honor roll, you work and you get it, but reading doesn't come easily to everybody.
I don't know. I think that could be argued.
And it's not like, I don't know, that's hard, because I guess our honor roll kids got to go to a big trip.
Yeah.
At the end of the year.
Yeah.
And I think once I went and once I didn't.
I remember growing up and the honor roll kids got to do all sorts of parties and stuff like that.
I don't know. It just made me sad.
I was bitter. I hated the honor roll kids. Not really, because I had a lot of friends that were in honor roll.
I don't know. I'm just torn.
I don't know. And I look about my growing up, and as a kid, I didn't feel that way. Like, oh, I'm dumb because I'm not in the honor roll.
Yeah, I guess I just thought, I wanted to go on that
trip.
Yeah,
I was like, oh, man. Most of the time, I actually thought, like, oh, I should have worked harder.
Did you really?
I did. But did I? No, because, I was
dumb at the time.
Not a very good student. But then I got into college and realized, oh, I'm paying for this.
So here's the question. If the school would have made you feel smarter, would you have improved?
I don't know.
That's the question. Like, if we made these kids feel like they could succeed and were successful, would they work harder at achieving their goals?
But are you saying that they're not doing that, though?
I don't know. I'm just torn. I guess I just felt bad.
Maybe the instructors and everyone did their best to make these students thrive, but they just, maybe they chose not to do it.
Well, I'm sure some kids don't, but some kids really just can't read well.
It's true.
I don't know. I just think it's, anyway, we've talked this subject down, or through the, what is that saying? Talked it.
We've run this into the ground.
Run this into the ground. My goodness. Why can't I remember that?
All right. So tell us what your thoughts are about rewarding or honor roll or separating the, Darwin's theory, survival of the fittest. I don't know.
Right.
Let us know on Facebook. The clown car.
The question that I'm posing is it healthy for a kid's mental health to separate him based on their
performance level?
Yeah, I guess that's what it is.
Yes.
But in such a blatant way. Yes, it's healthy?
I think so.
I don't know. I'm
because,
so torn.
Because you look at sports, too. It's like,
I don't like to look at sports.
They don't, like, let anyone be on the team. Well, look at theater. We did theater.
Okay.
You audition, all right? If you do not perform up to the level that the director is looking for, you are not going to play the lead role. Someone else that's better, that maybe worked harder or just happened to fit the role better, is going to get the spot. But that doesn't mean that you're bad. It just means you were not, I don't know. It's just, I don't know. It goes in all aspects of life, even business.
Yeah, whatever.
So
whatever. I guess I just feel bad for children. That was the other thing. At the picnic, you know what broke my heart? Was seeing the majority of the kids often playing, but then you'd see those kids there all by themselves. And I didn't even know who they were, and I was just going up to all of them and be like, are you okay? Just checking on, I'm like, are you having fun? And most of them were like, yeah, I'm okay. And I was like, I probably look so creepy, like, going up.
Hello, children. Are you okay?
I'll be your friend. But no, my heart just went out to these little kids. And I was like, I just want you to know that someone noticed you. So I tried to go.
Maybe they like being alone.
I don't know. Some of them looked pretty
lonely. Maybe they thought you were, like, totally weird talking to them. Like, lady, I want to be alone.
Well, hey, maybe that'll give them an interesting story to tell the others, and they'll make friends.
Maybe they have friends.
Maybe their friends are the dumb kids that can't read.
You just can't see them.
All right. That's all my stories, I guess. All
right. Well, let's talk about the topic of the week.
Woo-wee. All
right. We want to talk about date night.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So, Are you married?
Yes, I am.
Do you go on dates?
Do I?
I'm asking the question.
Yes.
So, fellow listeners, our fellow ringleaders, if we wanted to talk the importance of dating even after you are married.
And if you answered no to are you dating, what is wrong with you?
Shame on you.
Shame on you and your family.
You and your pigs.
What?
I don't know. So we wanted to talk about the importance of dating and that just because you're married doesn't mean that you still need to... courting your spouse does not end after you're married. And so we read some articles and saw some things that we liked and wanted to share. So if you want to read that first one, honey.
Sure. This is from the marriageandfamilyclinic.com. The author said, when anyone asks me whether or not they heard about doing a date, if date night is good or not, I have to say that no matter where they heard it from, going on a date night is sound advice, and it's very important to the health of your relationship. The reason it's so important is because couples will often get caught up in the everyday tasks of life, like redecorating the living room. What couple does that together? Redecorate? Unless it means like painting, but I don't say like, honey, come pick out curtains with me.
No, but you make me move the furniture.
I do. True. Okay, fine. Doing laundry. Once again, only one of us is doing the laundry. Running kids to soccer practice, helping with homework, etc., etc. And they forget about themselves as a couple. Now, this is interesting because...
Why is it interesting?
Well, it just makes me think of, we knew of a couple who, after their youngest child graduated and left the nest, they became empty nesters. They had a really hard time. They struggled with it because they had put all of their focus into their children. And I think we all have a tendency to do that.
And then so afterwards they had no hobbies. They didn't do anything and they almost didn't know each other anymore.
And I've heard from more than them that happens a lot.
Yeah.
Which blows my mind because I feel like we have a lot of hobbies that we like to do.
Yeah. Podcasting!
We're not going to be doing that as empty nesters, I think. Well, maybe.
This is going to go forever. We'll be famous.
Right.
No, not really. So
it really is important. And we've seen that with older people. So I would say as a relatively still kind of newish, I mean, we haven't hit past the first decade of our marriage, that it's important to establish that pattern now.
Yeah.
Especially after you have children. Holy smokes.
Yeah.
Date night. It's amazing.
So, and if you're wondering about, you know, the whole task of getting someone to watch your kids while you go on date, that's actually going to be another topic we're going to talk about later.
About babysitting.
But right now we want to focus on the importance of actually going out on a date.
We just want to inspire you.
That's right. So another quote was, unfortunately, everyday tasks seldom include things to do that strengthen your relationship. Let's face it, doing your spouse's laundry isn't exactly romantic.
But you know what is romantic and sexy?
What?
Watching you change a poopy diaper.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
I'm so good.
It's so hot.
They often focus on kids, tasks, chores, etc., etc. As a result, your identity as a spouse and as a couple often gets lost behind the routine chores and everyday tasks. Without knowing it, your relationship becomes bland. Even though you enjoy life together, you forget about things like talking as grown-ups, flirting with each other, and etc.
Well, I agree with this because I know there's been times in our marriage where I felt more like we were just roommates. Like, we'd say hi, have fun at work.
We're besties.
No, I'm saying just roommates.
Oh,
like,
fine.
Not besties, just roommates. Where I was like, hey, especially when you're in school, that was hard. And I would just say, see you tonight. And then you'd come home and we'd sit and watch TV, not talking. And then we'd go to bed, not talking. Not that we're angry. It was just like, we're just complacent.
Really? I'm feeling the anger.
No, I'm just saying there was a stage in our marriage that was pretty dull. And sometimes we
like,
hit it.
Like in the article, bland.
Yeah, I guess so. But at that time, I didn't notice it. And I didn't realize why I was like, ugh, why am I not feeling happy or connected with you?
Mm.
But now I recognize it and I'll say, like, I really feel like we're not connected this week. And then we work harder at it. So I guess knowing is half the battle.
Yay! Did I say it right? You said it right this time. Good job. So, no, it's... You do. You don't want to be in the situation where your spouse becomes the person that takes care of, like... For the males, you don't want to think of your wife as, oh, she's the person that just takes care of the house, the kids, and feeds me dinner. That's not how you should look at your wife. Of course, you should appreciate her and recognize that she does do those things, but...
Okay, you're talking like an expert. I want to hear your opinion.
That is my opinion.
But do you do that? Do you feel like you do that?
That I appreciate you? Where are we going with this?
I'm just saying you're lecturing the audience, but I want to hear your side of this story.
Of date night?
Why are you so confused?
I'm lost. Because I was in the flow, and you interrupted the flow.
Hi-ya! Like a ninja!
So, no, I think it's very important to date your spouse and not just think of her as your maid, basically, at home that does everything for you. I think it's important that you should be best friends with your spouse.
Which is funny, because I just read an article title that said, why your spouse should not be your best friend.
What? That's why I married you, because you're my best friend. So, I mean, and that's something you still need to cultivate as... Because even though you get married, first of all, you don't know everything about your spouse when you get married. There's still things to learn about. And, you know, 10 years later, that we're together. So,
nine.
I know, I'm just rounding up. And we've changed. We've changed a lot. And sometimes we like to take fun little quizzes and we're like, whoa, you think that way? Or I didn't know you liked that type. And we're still finding that stuff out today.
Yeah, but you mentioned that we're best friends, and I feel like we...
Are we not?
We get... Well, I'm going over this.
We're not.
I'm just saying I don't want people to hear us being all playful on this and think that we're perfect.
Oh, that we don't have struggles.
Because we've had trials.
Oh, yeah.
We've had really challenging challenges that we had to get over.
Uh-huh.
And I think that what makes us best friends is that we've worked a lot to make our marriage
work together. Good. Yeah.
So
marriage takes work and dating takes a lot of work.
Yeah. So we've had people say like, oh, you guys get along so well. And I'm like, that's because we've worked at it.
Yeah.
Like this is a project marriage.
A forever project.
It's a good one though. I think we're being successful.
Why are you yelling at me?
I know. Sorry. That was really high. Good. That was a good one. So, anyway. Why are we talking about this?
So,
date night.
So, date night is an essential element to put you in your routine as a couple because it allows you to focus on your relationship and on each other in adult ways.
Or adult ways.
Adult ways. If you begin to see your spouse as simply as a parent of your children and not as a lover anymore, or the object of your affection... this is a big sign that you need to start doing something to revamp your relationship. A date night is a good way to revamp it. Start by doing something neither of you done before and blah, 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 blah. And we're actually going to share some fun, cheap date ideas.
Are we going to share those?
Yeah, we're going to share some. At least to give you an idea of some of the date ideas that you can do. And granted, we're not saying you have to do these things. These are just ideas, because some of these things...
No, we're saying you must do
some
it.
Some of these things, people will be like, well, I'm never going to do that, because that's just not the type of person you are.
Okay, these are just to give ideas, because how boring does it get to do dinner and a movie?
Dinner and a movie.
Every single time.
I don't know, because if you think about it, dinner in a movie can be different every single time. Because you can eat something different every time, go somewhere to eat different times, and you see a different movie every single time.
Okay, but the key to this...
I know. I'm just being annoying.
But it helps to see the movie first and then go to dinner.
Then you have something to talk about. You have
something to talk about.
True.
So anyway.
Anyway.
I hate doing the movie last because then you go home and you go to bed without talking. And I feel like, well, I didn't grow any closer to you. I just saw a movie with you.
Yeah.
No. That's not a yeah. That's a...
Oh, bleh. Sorry.
Okay,
Wrong noises. So, ideas. You can grab your camera, go to a touristy area of your town, act like tourists, and get as many people to take pictures of you kissing each other.
Like a selfie.
Like a selfie.
Kissy selfie.
That's right.
Although it's not a selfie. What's a selfie? What is a selfie when it's taken by other people? a regular photo?
A portrait.
And then the next one is make a collage of the kiss pictures on the next date.
On the next date. Or you
I kind of like that.
That's fun. Or you can borrow or buy a cheap kiddie pool, fill it with bubble bath, light candles, put on some romantic music, and have a spa night in the backyard.
Okay, we're reading these off a website. I don't know if I could do that.
That's, it's kind
of
like...
It's like little fish pictures out of the pool. That's just not sexy.
But you can't see it over the bubbles.
If our kids came out and they're like, what are you doing in our pool?
Be like, we're having a spa night.
That one just is a little weird for me.
Okay, well, pick...
Which means we should try it.
That's right.
Okay, go to Walmart and fill your cart with something beginning with every letter of the alphabet. Then put it away. Yay!
Yay! No, that's kind of fun.
I want to try that one, actually.
Let's do it. All right. Let's... You could, I just don't want to go down the list because we're going to put the link on the website so you guys can look at it. You can volunteer together at a soup kitchen or a shelter. That'll definitely tell you what type of spouse you're married to. Be like, I don't want to help in a soup kitchen. Or while they're there, be like, dude, you need to get a job.
Oh, tasteless humor.
I'm just saying.
Tasteless humor alert.
It would definitely show you what kind of spouse you're married to.
Excuse me, that's true. Okay, I like this one. Play Chopped in the kitchen.
Chopped, the kitchen show,
like the
Chopped.
TV show. Give each other 30 minutes and 4 strange ingredients and make dinner for each other.
So.
We would totally do
we'd
that.
We'd totally do that.
We went through a phase where we watched Chopped all the time.
I love Chopped.
That's because we love food.
And I like cutthroat chicken. Kitchen. Man, I always say chicken.
Yeah, you do.
It should be kitchen. Chicken.
Okay, so.
Blah, blah. So, yeah. So that's just some ideas. And yeah, we'll, like I said, we'll have the link on the website so you guys can just click on that and you guys can check it out. So yeah.
One more thing. There, I had this fear.
Jackie, one more thing.
Nice. Quoting a cartoon.
Cartoon.
Jackie Chan, Adventures.
Good job.
So what was I thinking? Oh, one of my biggest fears before I got married and when we were newlyweds.
Spiders.
Always. I hate them. But no, was on when we'd go to a restaurant, when we were like fresh newlyweds, we always were chatting. But then you look around and you see those couples that have nothing to say to each other.
Yeah, that they're, you know, just they're there just staring.
Or, oh, do you remember that one time we went to Applebee's and that couple was sitting by us?
Yeah.
They're older and he was sitting there on his phone doing something and she was...
Just
eating and looking at nothing. Like, she was just looking around, and I could tell she was so bored. Well, maybe I was imagining it. If I were her, I would be so PO'd. And I seriously, for the first time in my life, was so tempted to just turn to him and be like, what is wrong with you? Your wife is beautiful, and you're throwing your marriage away. I had the whole scene written in my head.
But maybe that's just what they like to do.
Or maybe I should have said it and given that dang guy a wake-up call. I hate phones. Anyway, so the point I'm making is
to go off of that, if you want to, have something to do or talk about while you are waiting for your food or want to spend time after you're done eating, here's a tip. Bring a game. No, like, we have, Crystal keeps a stack of trivia cards in her purse, and she can just pull that out. Or you can keep, like, a deck of cards, and, or...
What else do I do?
And you print out, like, questions.
Thank you for remembering.
Dating questions and stuff like that.
I do. My fear is so deeply rooted that I always print off questions, like, when I know we're going to a nicer, like, longer Edie place.
A longer Edie place.
A restaurant that's a longer wait. I'll print off questions to ask that we can ask each other, and it's always been fun. Like, sometimes I do Would You Rather, or, you know, trivia, or just fun questions. Like, if you were given $1 million but had to spend it in one day, what would you do? Like, that kind of stuff. So maybe we'll post some of those on our website, too, to give others an idea.
I'd buy you a fur coat. But not a real fur coat.
If I had $1 million. Nice.
If I had $1 million. Anyway.
Thanks for that.
Yep.
So what I'm saying is, talk to your spouse while you're dating and go on dates.
Go on dates, people. And tell us what kind of dates that you and your spouse have gone on, and we'd love to hear about it, or crazy date stories that you had. And stay tuned. We'll talk about babysitting next time.
Oh, and you should go on a date at least once a month, but try for once a week.
Once a week.
Yes.
Boom.
All right.
Thank you for listening to The Clown Car. Parenting is hard, and we believe you should get a gold star just for trying.
Just remember, our way's not the only way. Find what works for you. You are doing a good job.
You can follow us and share your thoughts on Facebook and Twitter at The Clown Car. And email us at theclowncarshow@gmail.com. Make sure you subscribe.
Subscribe.
Rate.
Review.
Our show on iTunes. And until next time, enjoy your circus.